45 years ago, that was the first time that we saw affirmative action laws put into place. There was the affirmative action term actually comes from the executive order from John F. Kennedy, who wanted to use measures, that affirmative action measures, to achieve non-discrimination. Basically, for the most part, affirmative action laws are meant to give consideration to an underrepresented group, usually to counteract decades of discrimination and exclusion. And they often deal with things, everything from employment to education, public contracts, health programs, you name it. We still have affirmative action all across the country, but several states, including Arizona, Michigan, Nebraska, Washington, California, have overturned parts of their affirmative action laws. And now Utah is attempting to do the same and maybe go a little further. Joining us now is Elizabeth Ziegler. She's a reporter with our partner KCPW in Salt Lake City, Utah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Explain to me, what are the details of this bill that's on the table in Utah? It goes beyond the university cases that we've seen, such as the Supreme Court case against with the University of Michigan.
That's right. It also deals with public contracts as well as state employment. But it is fairly similar to the proposals that were passed in those other states.
In what way? Exactly what does it do? Does it take the precedent that was established in the University of Michigan case and simply apply it to public contracts and employment?
Well, it's based on proposals that have been put forth by and spread throughout the nation by Ward Connerly, who's a leading advocate against affirmative action programs. But right now in Utah, we're not 100% sure what the language is going to look like. The likely sponsor of the bill this year has not actually unveiled it yet. And we did have a similar bill that was proposed earlier this year in the state legislature, which failed. So we can only really look to other states to see what the likely impacts would be and what the language possibly could be.
Ward Connerly, a political activist, he was at one point the University of California regent. He's made this a national campaign to try and break down affirmative action cases all around the country, which would assume that he's chosen Utah as a sort of precedent, that in some way he thinks that this law could get passed not only by the legislature in Utah, but that it could be passed when it goes to ballot before the people of the state.
Absolutely. In fact, he has been here twice already. He was here earlier this year during the legislative session, and he was just here last week for a forum that took place in a Baptist church here in Salt Lake City. It was a heated forum, but with presentations on both sides of the debate.
Well, what are the chances? Have they taken polls among the people of Utah to see where they stand on the issue of affirmative action?
Not yet. It needs to pass through the legislature, and then the soonest it could get on the ballot is 2012. It has to pass through the legislature with 2/3 majority in both the House and Senate. So that legislative session and that proposal will be introduced this January.
And I assume, from what I can read in reports coming out of your state, that it's pretty likely that the Republican Party will get it passed this time. They've attempted several times in the past.
They have, and there has been, along with the Republican tide that swept the nation, even Utah became more Republican in our state legislature. So it is expected with an even more conservative leadership in the Utah House of Representatives that this bill could actually pass this year. Last year, it seems like it was hung up by, according to the sponsor, the sponsor, Representative Kurt Oda, said he was shy just one vote of the 2/3 he needed, and he held it back because he wanted to make 100% sure it would pass through the Utah House of Representatives. This year, there are 6 more Republicans in the Utah House of Representatives, so we probably won't have that problem. It should start in the Utah Senate, however, and the sponsor there would be Senator Margaret Dayton, and she's one of the most conservative lawmakers in the state, and the Senate is a very conservative body as well.
Elizabeth Ziegler is a reporter for our partner station KCPW in Utah. Also with us, we have Rebecca Chavez-Hauck. She's a Democratic member of the Utah House of Representatives. We are actually supposed to speak to Ryan Wilcox, a Republican member of the House as well, but we haven't been able to contact him this morning. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning, Kimbra.
You're obviously in the minority here. Do you accept the chances that this anti-affirmative action law will get passed?
Well, we're hoping that we can have a conversation with our colleagues that are supporting this, or some that need to understand the possible ramifications and the unintended consequences that could possibly occur here in Utah if we pass this legislation. I'm hopeful that we can have a conversation with folks and have them understand that Utah has some unique challenges in terms of increasing women and minorities' access to post-secondary education in our state, and that they might say, well, is this the right fit for Utah? Is this something that Utah should be looking at? Or given the fact that we would be looking at placing this on the ballot for 2012, maybe we can have further study by, for example, the Constitutional Revision Commission of the state to provide us additional guidance as to whether, again, if this is the right fit for Utah.
That's Rebecca Chavez-Houck. She's a Democrat, a representative in the Utah State House, clearly hoping that Utah doesn't become a national model in terms of overturning affirmative action laws. We also spoke with Elizabeth Ziegler, reporter for our partner station at KCPW in Utah. And what we're talking about here is a bill that is still in the proposal stage in the Utah State House that would overturn affirmative action laws there, not just in universities, as they have through the Supreme Court, but also in terms of state employment and state the awarding of state contracts as well. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the question really there is, do tax-supported institutions have a requirement to obey a certain set of laws as to how they allocate jobs and resources, et cetera, which is why it would be so broad if it would affect state contracts, preferences on contracts.
That is correct.
As well as specific employment, jobs offered in the state itself.
And would the Supreme Court end up having to weigh in on this as they did in the university situation coming out of Michigan?
And the universities are the target here because they use so much tax-supported revenue.
Right.
And they're an institution that, of course, has issues related to employment and admissions. And both of those have come before the Supreme Court.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.